Hope everybody is doing their best right now as we're going through this crazy time in our world. I'm Tony Bruschi, host of Real Ghost Stories Online. I wanted to invite you and let you know about our other brand new podcast that we just launched, Help Kill the Time for You. It's called The Dark Side of Wikipedia. It's about true crime and dark history. We dive into some of the strangest, most disturbed minds and experiences from our history and examine their story, their Wikipedia entry, and then discuss the cases, the individuals, and the psychology of the events as we go through each and every story. Some of our first episodes include Ed Gein, the BTK killer, the New London school explosion, Amityville murders, Richard Speck, Amelia Dyer, the General Slocum disaster, Jeffrey Dahmer, and more. New episodes every single week. Check out Dark Side of Wikipedia. Search it. Subscribe wherever you download podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and more. It's available now with new episodes every single week. Dark Side of Wikipedia. Search and subscribe today and stay safe out there. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what happens when a figure appears at the end of a child's bed late in the night?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you love the show and you can't get enough of it and you're like, how do I just binge the hell out of this thing without commercials and get every episode ever made? Well, do I have something for you. Number one, every episode ever made actually equates to the largest audio archive of ghost stories in recorded human history. We have it for you. And you can have access to it. Just go to ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. You'll get access to all of our episodes, literally 8 years of them. More ghost stories in one place than any other location ever. So you get all of that. You also get, of course, our advanced episodes of the show, commercial-free, our EPP bonus episodes, brand new ones of that every single week on top of all the regular episodes that you get in advance, all commercial-free. So if you like the show, you want to binge with no ads, that's the best way to do it. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. It's the weekend edition of Real Ghost Stories Online. And with us, of course, Harper.
Hi.
What's going on, Harp?
Well, I just had a cinnamon roll.
Oh, and how was the cinnamon roll?
It was great.
Yeah, that's good. Any ghosts in the house today while I was in the studio here working?
No.
No, nothing creepy. That's good. That I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged that there's nothing creepy going on in the house. Because I had that light that kept turning on and off, and I replaced that thing, and it hasn't done it since. So, knock on wood. But anyway, we actually had a chance last weekend to go, and I put some pictures up at Real Ghost Stories Online on our Facebook page and our Instagram accounts. If you follow us there, you can check these out. But we went for a hike. We've been trying to do a lot of hiking, me and Harp. So on the weekends, we go and trying to find a new trail. And every once in a while, these trails around here come across old homesteads. Now, much of the homesteads are gone, or there's part of a barn or part of a building. And we saw a really cool one last week. The whole barn was still up there. And
there's this old suitcase in the barn that I really wanted, but we couldn't take it.
Yeah, Harp wanted to steal a suitcase from the barn. and it was really kind of neat, too. I really kind of wanted it, and I was kind of amazed that no one else had taken it yet. And then everything runs through my mind, like, did somebody already take this and then they just put it back? Or I don't know, because you'd think things like this have been a little bit picked over by now. But we we went there, and the remnants of this old house were there, a giant chimney, just beautiful, almost kind of looked like a pizza oven, and probably could be converted into one should someone want to do that. But the foundation part of the basement was all there. And also the area, there was an area, and I don't know what it was, but it was like a wooden cabin type structure, you know, wood that was coming out of a cliff. And what someone had pointed out to me was they think it might have been their refrigeration area where in the, what you could do, because essentially that would have been covered at one time and not rotting away. But there was that little stream that came and ran through it from outside of that cliff. And likely what that was the water would run through that building underneath it and then refrigerate the interior with the cold water that was coming straight out of that spring in the earth. So prior to refrigerators, that's probably where you would store perishable goods. So that little thing is likely what that little structure was. And we have pictures of all this stuff on our Facebook page at Real Ghost Stories Online. So go ahead and check that out if you want to see them. But it was a neat, neat area. What were your thoughts on seeing all of that?
It was really cool. I really enjoyed that.
Do you like seeing, do you like ruins? Do you like kind of...
I love ruins.
What's left of things?
Yes. I always want to know if they're haunted or not.
And that makes me wonder too, whether it's haunted or not, I don't even care. I just like seeing the remnants. I feel like you can almost like learn something from it. I don't know what that is, but just seeing places like that, I like to... I don't know. I don't know what it is. I'm always drawn to it. And I like to be able to kind of, if there's a way to you know, restore it or not even necessarily restore it, but just keep it safe from it deteriorating further or being damaged by people. I let nature do what it wants to do, but I don't like it being damaged by humans because it's just, you know, nature will take its course on its own.
Yeah. And like some... And there were like these really cool like grapevines.
Oh my gosh. Nice. Yeah. Throughout this whole trail, some of the largest grapevines I've ever seen. One that was big enough, you were able to like lay down on.
Yeah.
And like rest, like a little like day bed.
It was almost like a bench, but I was just like, I'm just chilling on there.
It was amazing. Very neat pictures. If you want to check it out, most of that barn is intact and we got pictures of that. And of course the, what was left of that homestead, just a neat little thing. If you want to check it out, our Instagram page or Facebook, search Real Ghost Stories Online and follow us there. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go into our first story of the day. It says, as soon as I scroll down to the beginning of the story. Okay, here we go. I've experienced multiple different paranormal or unexplainable encounters throughout my life, including experiences that are happening in the home that I currently live in. And I want to talk about each of these experiences. The first experience that I can recall is of a shadow person. When I was about 5 years old, I was walking to the restroom in the middle of the night. Across from the bathroom was my parents' room. On the way to the bathroom, I investigated my parents' room and I saw a shadow person next to my parents' bed, just looking at my parents. It never looked at me, but I ran quickly back to my bedroom that I shared with my brother. And I hid under the sheets until I fell back asleep. My next encounter did not happen until I was 11 or 12. During this time, my family and I were living with my family friend and their family. I was taking a nap in one of the spare bedrooms, but I was in and out of consciousness and for some reason having a hard time sleeping. So I opened my eyes, and when I did, I saw one of my parents' old friends with whom we had lost contact. She was sitting at the edge of the bed with her back facing me, but she was twisted to where she was turning around and looking. She had a serious look on her face, and she said something, but no noise came out. As soon as I blinked, she was gone. I still do not know what she was trying to tell me, but it seemed urgent. My parents never got back in touch with this person. My next experience happened after my family moved out of our friend's house. We moved into a different town, and nothing about this house really seemed off or spooky to me, but every few nights, my bed would shake, and it would wake me up. That is the only thing that was kind of weird that happened in that house. After living at this house for a while, my parents were struggling financially and decided to move in with a family who was out of state. This is when things started to escalate for me personally. The household was extremely negative with a lot of fighting, and I feel like that had an impact on these paranormal things that were happening in the house. The first thing that happened to me in this house was when I was lying down in bed and trying to take a nap. I was facing the wall and just could not fall asleep. So I started to turn my body over to look at the clock on my nightstand to check the time. But as soon as I did, I started to turn over a roll over to look at the clock. I could see a person in my left peripheral view standing over me with their arms outstretched like they were going to grab me. It seemed like they were trying to scare me on purpose, and the only feature I can remember about them was that they had long, wavy, dark blonde hair just like my mother, but it was covering her face. When I initially saw her, I froze, and so did she, or it. As I slowly rolled over, she moved down to the floor, moving at the same time, and I did so that she was just in my peripheral view until I was all the way turned over and looking at the ground, and by this point, she just disappeared. I screamed for my mother, and she rushed in, and I told her what happened. Shortly after this happened, I had another experience. I was sitting in the computer room playing an online game with my legs propped up. I felt someone grab and yank my big toe. I instantly jumped up and ran to my mom again to tell her what happened. At the time of this house, I was sitting in the living room. The place that I was sitting in had a view of the hallway that led to the bedrooms in the home. It is only one story. As I was looking down the hallway, I saw what I thought was my Nana, the family member whom we moved in with, walk into the bathroom in the hallway and go inside. I thought this was weird because she had her own bathroom and never used this one. So I got up, went to the bathroom to ask her, why did she go there? She was using our bathroom, but there was no one in the bathroom. Looking back on this memory, the figure was a little bit taller than my Nana and had a hunched back, which my Nana did not. On another occasion, I was walking to the restroom in the middle of the night, and our door handle for the restroom was a long handle, not one of those round doorknobs. But when I reached to the restroom to go inside, I noticed the doorknob was twisted down as if someone was holding it down. And then it was released. Besides my usual sleep paralysis, I did not experience anything else that was paranormal until my grandmother passed away. When my grandma passed, it hit me hard because I was living with her at the time. To cope, I would sneak wine into my room at night. So I snuck a bottle of wine a night. And when I was drinking it, I heard two loud knocks on my door, which really scared me because the only other person in my house was my grandfather, who was supposed to be asleep. Thinking it was him, I quickly hid the bottle of wine and checked the door. There was no one there. So I went to my grandfather's room to see if it was him, but he was asleep. I think the knocking was my angry grandmother, who was probably trying to nag me about sneaking alcohol into my room as I was underage. I do have more stories to share specifically about the events that are currently happening, but I feel like I've made this submission long enough, so I can share the rest later.
Okay. That woman or something, that's really creepy, because usually, like, the average... Well, most of the time, when I hear of ghosts, I hear, like, with tall shadow people,
mm-hmm.
or like something that runs at you, not like something with hair covering your face,
almost very visible, like a human.
Yeah,
not so much an apparition or a shadow, but very, very vivid.
Yeah, and that's very, very creepy to me.
It is. I've had pictures submitted to me over the years on the show where I've had to ask the person who sent it to me, where is the ghost in this photo? And they're like, it's the one person in the picture. And they swear to God there was no one there when they took the picture. It was just kind of the one that really stands out to me was done that one that was taken, I believe, in the London Underground, which is the London subway system. And it's just kind of a picture down a corridor, which would be a really just kind of neat picture by itself. So I get why they took the picture. I always question pictures that look like, why did you even take a picture here? Unless you were trying to get a ghost. But most of the time, it's like, I wasn't even trying to catch anything. Well, then why are you taking these random pictures? But this one looked like, oh, this is kind of an artistic photographic setup because everything was very even. It was a real pretty shot of some of the bricks and just kind of the way the things were laid out. And there's a figure out in the distance. And that's what I was questioning. Like, well, yeah, I see a person down there, but where's the ghost? No, that is the ghost. And they're like, there was no one there And they were right there. It was kind of a dead end to this hall area they were taking the picture on. And it creeped me out because I'm like, well, I swear to God, that is a very, it looks like a person. There's no question. It did not look ghostly. You could put that picture in front of anybody and no one's going to say, where's the ghost? They're just going to think it's a picture of a person that happens to be there. And that's kind of scary when they realize it's a ghost and they're that vivid. It'd be like if you or me just suddenly disappeared.
Yeah. It's like, I didn't see you get up or walk.
Yeah.
I didn't see you, like, jump down from the seat, even though it's not that high up, but just, like, slip down.
That makes me wonder a little bit about how often do we encounter ghosts and we don't even know it because they're around us and we just happen to not notice that they're ghosts, especially in well-traveled areas. Back, you know, pre-COVID, when you'd go to the mall or amusement parks or things like that with a lot of people at them, how often, you know, just in the crowd, it'd be a great place to blend in if you're a ghost and you don't want to be seen or you don't want to be noticed, if you will.
Or you just want to haunt some things and then just steal a teddy bear from Build-A-Bear.
I would imagine. Yeah, exactly. You know,
I would love to haunt a mall. I would haunt that mall and I would steal candy, teddy bears and other toys and screw around with people. Because that is the way I am.
And then eventually, like, this Cinnabon is really haunted. Pretzels keep disappearing.
I love pretzels.
Well, hopefully at the end of this whole pandemic thing,
and we don't die,
we can find a mall that still exists. It may happen. We'll just have to see.
That'd be so cool if we could actually see a mall that still exists.
Hopefully someday. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go over here to a caller and hear a ghost story. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, everyone. Hopefully my stories are not too long. And I live here in Southern California. I used to live with my parents. My girlfriend and I, we decided to have a baby. She ended up moving in with us. To this day, I think my parents' house, there's something going on. One day, my parents ended up leaving to Mexico. And they decided to go driving, so I helped them put their luggage away and everything. So a little backstory to this is they would always, since my son would always wake up at 5 in the morning, 6 in the morning, and throughout the night, he would wake up every other hour or every 2 hours or so. Me and my wife would be dead tired. So by 5, 6 in the morning, we couldn't get up with them. And so my parents or my brothers would come, and they would knock on our door. You know, the regular knock, 1 or 2, hey, can I come in? Or 3 knocks, can I come in? And so me being half asleep, all I would say is like, yes, come in. And so they already knew to walk in and go to my son's crib and get him and take him, right? So by this, they decided to drive off to Mexico. I helped them put the luggage away. And so that same night, or actually that following morning, we were asleep. My son was still asleep. And I hear 3 knocks on the inside door, because we had 2 doors, one that would lead to the backyard and another one that would lead to the inside of the house. And I heard 3 knocks, 1, 2, 3, knock, knock, knock. I woke up and the first thing that came to my head was, okay, someone's trying to come in. My family's trying to come in. So all I said was, come in. My wife wakes up and she reminds me, no one's home. To this day, I get goosebumps. I don't know what happened. I try to play every possible scenario. Maybe it was a dog. He hit something. I don't know. Not the following day, but by the second day, again, they knocked on the inside door, the door that leads to the inside of the house. Like I said, we try to think every possible scenario, but to this day, we don't find an answer. Another thing, my parents' house is on an elevated floor. So not like the regular houses where all the plumbing is on the underneath the concrete slab. No, my parents is on a wooden floor, right? So every step that you take, you could hear it since it's an old house. And my room is on a concrete slab, so you have to take two steps down to go to my room. So every other night we would hear someone walking by the kitchen, walking by the living room, and then they would take the two steps and then walk a few more steps to the door and just stand there. I would wait for someone trying to open a door, but nothing. And mind you, there was no one home. So when my son was born and not even at 2 years old, doctors told us he was going to be a vegetable baby. Right now he has cerebral palsy and developmental delay and a few other things I'm not going to get into. So they told us he's not going to be able to walk. He's not going to be able to crawl. He's not going to be able to do anything a normal kid is going to be able to. So with that in mind, he would wake up every hour, every 2 hours. We would feed him or whatever he needed, right? So one night I wake up and I grab him with my left hand and I bottle feed him with my right hand. Being really tired, what I did is I laid on my bed and I moved closer to the middle of the bed so that I put myself in a beetle position. And so, like I said, with my left hand, I had my son. And then with my right hand, I had the bottle and his legs were touching my legs since I was in a beetle position. Knowing that it was impossible for him to roll over to the left, and there was enough room for him to lay there, but like I said, it was impossible for him to roll over, or even worse, for him to crawl over me. I would feel him. I would literally feel him if he were to crawl over me or move. But again, it was physically impossible for him to move. He couldn't. So, being so tired, I knocked out. I fell asleep. And the thing that woke me up afterwards, I don't know if it was a few hours or a few minutes, what woke me up was my son crying. Me and my wife woke up and she asked me, where is he? So I wake up, I open my eyes and my arms were empty, but I was still in a position where thinking I still had him in with me. My right hand was still trying to bottle feed him, but there was nothing there. I stretched my legs and he was on the opposite side of the bed with his head hanging off the bed about to fall. So I just grabbed him from his feet and dragged him over to my side. Like I said, it was physically impossible at the time for him to be on that side. Again, I try to think every reasonable explanation. It could have been me being so tired that I left him there, but I mean, I couldn't be that irresponsible to put him there. I run and run scenarios and I don't, honestly, I can't find an answer to it. Another thing that happened, my wife fell asleep with him. So she fell asleep on the bed. She laid regularly and she put my son forming a T. And again, she put a pillow on the other side of the bed. Like I said, again, it's impossible for him to roll over or go over the pillow. So she wakes up because she hears my son crying. And then she yells for my name. Hey, can you come here? But in her voice, I could hear she was scared. There was something going on. So I ran to the room and I find my son on the floor. And the pillow that she had put on the side of the bed, it was about 5 to 6 feet off the bed. And I asked her, like, what happened? Why is the pillow over there? She said she didn't know. She doesn't know how it got there and how my son ended up in the floor. Again, no scenarios. I try to think of a logical explanation. I can't. Every time we talk about this, my grandpa, he passed away about the same time my son was born, and he was gonna come over from Mexico to see my to meet my grandson, but he died and his luggage was already ready. You know, we think it was him. Not, you know, that was messing with them, but whatever it is or it was harming my son. So not too long after, we ended up moving out of the house. But till this day, my younger brother sleeps in that room and he still hears those footsteps going to his room. Anyways, I have a lot more stories from that house. I'll give you guys another call some other day. Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
Well, what the thing is, there's a, well, like, you know how you fall asleep and you can, like, toss and turn?
Yeah.
Well, people can do that, and sometimes they don't even realize that they're doing that when they're asleep.
Okay.
Because they're unconscious when they're asleep.
Sure.
So, you could easily just have, like, knocked the pillow down and then the baby accidentally rolled off of the bed.
Well, the baby, though, wasn't likely just laying on the bed without any sort of restriction or anything like that. He wouldn't have put the baby in a position like that to be just on the bed without moving or with the ability to move. So, so I get what he's saying. He's like, I couldn't find any logical way where I would have consciously done this. Or unconsciously, because you wouldn't fall asleep with your child in that sort of a position where there could be a risk of them being harmed. But I get what you're saying. Had the baby been in that position or something like that, and an unconscious thing was done, sure. But I don't think he did that where it would have been that possibility. But I get what you're saying. As a parent, it's just like you are, at least most of us are, super crazy protective. And it's like, you know, there's, you know, if there's a bee coming near you, I'm going to be jumping up out of the chair trying to get it away, especially if you're a baby. You're just everything that you can do. It's like you're a bodyguard for that person until they're able to start kind of being able to protect themselves a little bit more. Then slowly as you grow, you'll always be the bodyguard of your child, but you'll also know they can fend off a bee or this or that or something like that. You'd still be the one that would jump in front of the moving train to push your kid out of the way, even if they're 30 and you're 80. But that is just kind of how it is when you're a parent. But everything that went on in that house, it certainly sounds like there was a lot of activity that still lingers on to this day and probably really always will. They'll probably pass out of that house, not die, but they'll move on to something else. And whoever ends up getting into that property will likely have their own set of stories too.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that with us. 855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to another caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Brucies. This is Ashley from Nashville, Tennessee. And I was just listening to your episode on January 18th, I believe today is 2021. And there was a story about Charles, I believe, the bird, who unfortunately passed away. And that reminded me of my own little story that I had that took place over this past weekend, actually. So to start this off, about a couple months ago, my daughters and my husband and I were playing hide and go seek on our property. We had about an acre of land. Our house takes up a little bit of it, and then the rest of it is the play and all that sort of fun stuff. And so we were playing hide and go seek, and my daughter, my oldest, she's 8, decided to hide at the back of the house. And we really don't go towards the back of the house. It's where the church meets our land. So we just kind of stay back away from that and just play out in front of the house normally. So in our game of hide and go seek, I said, Abigail, it's time to come out. I can't find you. And she didn't come out. And so I called again, Abigail, come out, you know, and she never came out. We have a creek in our back of our yard. And so my thought was she fell into the creek and like washed away. Like I'm thinking the worst. So my husband, my youngest daughter and I were looking all over the land for our daughter. And I noticed we have a couple of red cardinals that come onto our land and fly away, come back and fly away. Well, there's one red cardinal sitting on a tree in front of our garage, which is right in front of the back of the house. The cardinal was sitting on the limb. It would peek its head around the garage so it can see behind the house. And then the red cardinal would look back at me. And so after I looked at the red cardinal, we met eyes and the cardinal looked behind the house again. So it looks behind the house, looks back at me. We locked eyes. It looks back behind the house again, and then it turns its head and looks back at me. And suddenly my daughter comes out from behind the house, and I'm like, oh gosh, we've been looking all over the place. So that was the first thing. I really didn't think too much of it. And then this past weekend, this happened twice on two separate occasions. I was in the other half of the house, just doing laundry, cleaning, whatever. And my daughters were supposed to be in the living room cleaning, but they were playing. But anyway, regardless, they were in the living room, and the living room is right in front of our front porch. There's a fence on the front porch, and any bird can come and sit on this porch and look into the house. Well, my daughters are playing in the living room, and I'm by the somewhere in the house sitting, and I happened to come by and notice that there was a red cardinal sitting on the fence looking in. And the moment this cardinal saw that we locked eyes and saw that I was there, like I happened to come into view, it flew away. And so another occasion, the same weekend, it happened again. Girls in the living room playing. I'm in the other part of the house cleaning or whatever. And I happened to come into view to check in on the girls, and there was the red cardinal again sitting on the fence watching my girls. And the moment we locked eyes, it flew away. So there's just been this one red cardinal just bebopping around my property, keeping an eye on my girls. And I did hear that red cardinals, they can be past loved ones watching over. And so when your listener said that you guys love animal stories, I'm like, oh, I must share this with the Brewskis. So here it is. I hope you enjoy my red cardinal story who likes to babysit my daughters.
It sounds like the cardinal with the hide and seek part, with it like looking behind the house and then looking at the mom. It sounds like the cardinal was trying to tell the mom something.
It does. And it makes you wonder, you know, how accurate is that? How true is that? It you know, there's a lot of times where the birds, I like birds. Birds are,
me too,
are something that I find peace in. My grandpa was really big into birds. In fact, I have his bird book right there. There was this bird on it, right?
Yep.
Yep. I gave that to him for Christmas when I was like 10. And after he passed, I got it back. and I always knew he loved birds, and he'd always go to the library, and he was so much into birds. Like, there was books in the library in the basement cellar areas that they would let him check out that no one else could check out. It was really kind of neat. But I've always associated in my hometown, cardinals was our bird of choice, if you will. It was the home team of, we had one high school in my town and cardinals was the bird, and all that. So it was kind of something special to me growing up. And here we have a gazillion cardinals.
Yes.
They're everywhere. And up there you see them kind of here and there, but around here I see them more frequently than I see like robins and other kind of more common birds. And the other day, it was a more stressful day. I walked out of the studio, and right behind the studio is our barn and the pasture and kind of our little horse area. And on all of, there's like fencing in the horse area. And in that area, I had never seen so many cardinals in my life at one time. I tried to count them as quickly as I could in the few seconds that I saw them before they flew off as I opened the door. There had to be at least like 14 red cardinals. Now, I see the females all the time too, and I see the red ones all the time, but I kind of see them like in ones and twos and threes maybe. There had to be like 14 red cardinals all hanging out right out there over by where the horses are. And they saw me and they just all kind of took off. And I was just like, oh my God, I've never seen like a flock of cardinals together. And I have always, whether you want to call it superstition or whatever the hell it is, but ever since, I've always viewed my grandpa as really kind of a very kind, wise person for guidance. And ever since he's passed, whenever I see a cardinal, I kind of think of him. And sometimes I actually say, to the birds, hi, Grandpa, because I'm, you know, it's kind of one of those things. And I saw all, I'm like, oh my God. And I don't know if I just kind of needed that at that moment in time or what, but it was just like, oh my gosh. Like, there's a lot of things looking at me right now. It was a sign or whatever it was, but it's something kind of special with the Cardinals.
There's this Cardinal, you know, our parking lot where we park our cars.
That's called a driveway, honey.
Yeah, driveway is what I mean.
We don't have a parking lot.
A driveway.
Yeah.
But it's like every day I see this little red Cardinal come up and sit on your side window
and poops. Because there's poop all down the side of my truck.
It just sits there. And yeah, it poops. But
yep.
It will come there every day and just sit there. And I can see it from my window. It's like, that's nice.
So you look out your window and you see the Cardinal every day there?
Yeah.
I was wondering what bird is doing that.
It's a Cardinal. It's a red Cardinal.
And so he just likes to sit there and you look out your window and you see him.
Yeah.
I see that same one a lot too when I walk out to the front pasture. There's usually one Cardinal that's flying around somewhere because he was sitting on something right there and he sees me and he kind of flutters away. It's probably the same guy.
But he'll always come back.
He does.
After you go into the house, he will come back and sit on your side mirror.
Yeah, it's his spot.
Yeah.
And I know exactly what, this is the first time I'm hearing this from Harper on the air. And I know she's not making that up or anything because I have noticed in the last handful of weeks, I'm going to try to sound gross, but a lot of bird poop right there, right below my wind. You know, if you ever have that underneath your mirror, it's like, oh, a bird's been sitting here. And there's just an enormous amount of it lately on both mirrors of my truck, right below on the side of the door. And it's him. So he just hangs out there for hours.
Yeah, like every day, all day. I wouldn't be surprised if he even sleeps there.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting.
He's a nice little bird.
He does.
I think we own him.
I think I've said hi to Grandpa a few times to that one. More than a few times, honestly. That's the one I see most frequently on a regular basis is the guy that's normally up there. Makes you think. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Hope you guys like the program. If you like it and you want to keep us on the air, we greatly appreciate your support. You are what fuels our show. Without you guys, we wouldn't exist. Sign up to get all the bonus episodes, all the advanced episodes, all commercial free. It's all there at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. You literally get access to the largest audio archive of ghost stories in human history. I'm not exaggerating. It's true. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. You get it all for only $5 a month and you help keep us on the air. Until next time, for Harper, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.